Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezes Hashem Shir Shalom Bayis number 436, about five-step action plans to happy and healthy marriage. We're in step number four, which is acknowledging the other. And last year, we talked about listening. We started talking about healthy dialogue. And healthy dialogue is that there's one person talking, the other person listening, and it allows the one talking to be truly heard. And that is by having the listener mirror what the speaker is saying. The one who is listening, after listening, repeats or paraphrases their spouse who is speaking, and then asks that the person, did I understand it fully? Or do you want to share more? And this continues until the one who is speaking says everything he or she wants to say. And couples, of course, say, this is not the normal way of talking, but this type of mirroring does wonders. Now, mirroring doesn't mean like you are just copycatting, you know, the speaker says something and the listener is afterwards just saying the words back to the speaker. Doesn't mean that. It means that there's a true understanding of the words being said and the feelings being felt, and you mirror that way. So, for example, if a wife says to the husband, I'm really upset that you haven't gone to the cleaners to get your shirts cleaned. I feel like I have to do everything for you, like you're one of the kids, like you're another person to take care of. And if I don't take care of it, no one will take care of it. That is what the wife says. So let's say the husband disagrees with his wife because the husband did intend to go to the cleaners. He is scheduled to go today. He does help a lot around the house. And he never asked his wife to go to the cleaners, right? So the husband feels this way. And his natural reaction would be to tell his wife the truth, clear his name. It's not true. But if he says that, the argument will continue and it'll be a breach in their relationship. So this husband learned this dialogue, took the risk of not being right. I won't be right here. And instead, I'm going to enter to the world, in the world of my wife. And so the husband instead of defending himself, he said, so what I heard you say is that you're upset that I did not go to the cleaners and get my shirts cleaned. And you feel like you have to do everything for me and as if I'm one of the kids. So did I get you to understand what? Do I understand what you're saying? And the wife says, yes, that's what I'm saying. And then the husband returns and says, is there more? Meaning, is there anything else you want to share with me? Because I'm interested in hearing your story. And the dialogue continues. And then the wife remembers as they're talking how she felt pressured because she was the older sibling in her house growing up, that she had to take care of her siblings because her parents were not always available. And the situation with this dry cleaners triggered that anxiety she experienced as a little girl. And when she finished her story, what happened here? The husband made a full journey into his wife's world. He realized that her upsetness of him not going to the cleaners and taking care of himself had very little to do with him, whether right or wrong. And he was able to have compassion for his wife. For the little girl who was forced to grow up too soon, his eyes even filled with tears of compassion, and he concluded the dialogue by validating her feeling. And he responds, you know, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because I didn't go to the cleaners. So even though he intended to go later that day, and he never asked his wife, but he admitted his 10% wrong. The bottom line is, I didn't go. And he empathized in sharing with his wife what he imagined she may be feeling. And the husband is saying, I imagine you may feel very overwhelmed and alone. Is that what you're feeling? So when you have this dialogue, a shift occurs. Instead of discussing the subject matter, I'm right, you're wrong, you're partially wrong, on the subject itself, the husband actually in this case went into his wife's world. did not react to it, did not contend the facts. She was able to feel heard. And instead of resulting in a disconnect, the exchange brought them closer than they had been in months. So again, I have to do more research on how this dialogue works. Belina, there I will. And then once I do, I'll be able to give shiurim on that. But the idea is, of this dialogue, it's like when you're crossing a bridge from one world to another, from your own world to your husband or wife's world. And when we are able to view our spouse as someone other, unique and distinct, a full world unto themselves with different experiences, different views, different opinions, then we are able to make more sense of the way they are feeling and the way they are behaving, similar to when you visit another culture. You feel uneasy at first, you know, and could you respect what they're doing, even though it's not your lifestyle? It's easy to respect something, a lifestyle that doesn't compromise your own. But when it gets close to home, you feel threatened. And that's why in marriage, your spouse is coming from a different household with different rules. And that feels threatening. But to recognize that it's healthy, it's not a one-way trip. Your spouse will have opportunities to visit your world and experience your viewpoints of reality. And she, he or she will be able to, it's a mutual understanding of each other's worlds. And this creates a spirit of goodwill and of connection. And you're enriched by this. And even if one spouse isn't listening to this yerim currently, you can still start the healing process. Start mirroring your spouse. Mirroring does not mean you parrot just the words, but you really try to understand as well. You begin, your husband or wife, even if they're not reading the book and they're not interested at this point, but by you being a mirror, by reflecting how your spouse is feeling, your spouse will feel more validated, will feel more heard, and there'll be less reactivity and there'll be less arguments. But again, it can't be robotic, like you say a sentence and you're mirroring back, just parroting it. It has to be thought out with the emotion, with the thoughts behind it, not just the words. And this type of mirroring protects you because it forces you to respond in an intentional way, not in a knee-jerk, reactive way. So if you don't mirror, this is what happens. Let's say a husband says, I'm quitting my job. I can't stand working for these people. And one wife would respond because they're anxious, but they don't mirror, but they're anxious. So the wife responds, but how will you support the family? You're overreacting. Is it really that bad that you're going to throw away all those years with this company? How will you get hired somewhere else at that salary? So she's anxious and she's expressing her anxiety to her husband. That's one mahalach. The other approach of mirroring is that the wife is also anxious. She just got anxiety level went up high because her husband said he's quitting his job. But what she's doing at this moment is putting her anxiety aside, and instead she's going to mirror. And the way she talks to her husband is like this. She says, you want to quit your job and you can't stand these people you work with. It sounds like you had a very hard day or a hard period. Do you want to tell me more about it? So the wife is realizing that, yes, the husband's statement, I want to quit my job, is anxiety provoking. But what did this mirroring do? Without the mirroring, it would end up with frustration, more anxiety, maybe even a fight. With the mirroring, it could result in a stronger connection, because if she shows the empathy and listens out to him, the husband will calm down, realize he's expressing his frustration. He had no intention to quit. And even if he does, he'll do it in a normal, menschliche way, slowly. He won't just do something impulsive that will hurt himself and his wife and his family. Very often the wife will now understand, yes, I understand my husband, why he wants to quit. And there is a mutual agreement. Now, let's do an example the opposite way. A wife goes to her husband very upset. I can't believe you're home late again. Every single night you're at the office and you don't even bother calling me. So again, two approaches. The husband feels attacked. They feel like they're under attack. One husband does not do the mirroring, and he yells back, "The last thing I need to hear after a hard day's work is your constant complaining. I told you I have a lot of work and pressure this week. Just can't you give me a break? Just leave me, you know, leave me be." That's one way of responding, of you're hurt and you attack back. The second husband also feels attacked and hurt, but decided, "I'm putting it aside and I'm going to mirror." So what the second husband does after the wife says, "You're home late and you don't even bother calling," he says to her, mirroring, "You're upset that I am late. You're upset that I'm at the office at late every night and that I don't call you to tell you when I'm coming home. And is that right? Is that what you're saying?" And instead of turning into a shouting match, now the husband is mirroring back. He's holding back his reactivity. He's not going to respond back with his defensiveness. And he just now defused the conflict. This takes a lot of discipline not to respond. It's not easy to mirror when you're feeling strong emotions of that you are hurt by your wife's words, by your husband's words. But what it does is it allows you, it's worth the effort because it allows you to remain calm. It allows you not to slip into being reactive. It gets you safe enough to hear what the other person is saying without taking it as a personal attack. If every conversation with your husband or with your wife is like a knife sticking into your heart, that is going to deteriorate the relationship. But if you don't look at it that way, you don't allow that dagger to go into your heart, you are able to hold it before it gets to your heart, and you mirror and reflect, that will help greatly. And the mirroring reflects not just the one who is doing it, but the one who is being mirrored, because it diffuses the emotional tension on both sides. Your wife or husband, once it's mirrored to them, feels now they don't need to prove the point or protect themselves from being reactive, because my husband is already hearing me. My wife is already hearing me. I don't need to be reactive. So the key is you do this mirroring when you sense that your husband or wife is emotionally triggered, or when there's a difficult subject that has to be discussed that may trigger you. And, you know, if there's a tense relationship, even a simple comment could create a reaction. Therefore, when you do this mirroring, it helps avoid potential misunderstandings and it helps avoid misinterpretations. And when you're in doubt, you mirror. You can't go wrong with it. Again, you can't be mimicking, just saying word for word. Then she's saying, you know, you're just repeating to me like a parrot. But so there has to be obviously a thought, an insight when you're mirroring and responding back to what your husband or your wife is saying. So that's why some marriage counselors don't really just do negotiations. Like the husband says, she'll take it to heart, let him take out the garbage, let her cook dinner, and, you know, those type of mediations. Sometimes it's healthy, but that's an external thing. The key really is the change that happens through the dialogue with one another. That dialogue, which we talked about, allows couples to have a stronger connection. And once the speaker or the listener has so much compassion for each other, then they would want to change on their own. And they don't need their spouse to change total to be different. They're going to change on their own, and they'll both be happy with one another. And that is very, very important. This dialogue calms anxiety. Because once you do this, you become more relaxed, more resourceful. And so he says an example, interesting. It was someone was traveling to Thanksgiving weekend, and his connecting flight was canceled, and everyone was hounding, demanding that get her a flight. So this person noticed that the one that was behind the ticket counter, the lady behind the ticket counter, was very frazzled and tense because of the situation. So he decided to mirror. He mirrored her, he validated her. He said, "Wow, I can imagine you having such a rough time with all these travelers, and it would make sense that you're exhausted at your wit's end." And by acknowledging her reality, he made her feel understood, which allowed her to be more resourceful. And she was able to get him that connecting flight, the next connecting flight right away. Was that a coincidence? No. It's simply that when she was under stress, she was less effective, because emotional upset could produce stress on the brain, which leaves you very unresourceful. And when he validated her and was kind to her, she opened up her mind to calm down to the degree that she was able to help him get the next connecting flight, without much problem. So we have to avoid the self-absorption, and we need to listen to the other and not respond from our own reactions to things. And again, I have to do more research on this Imago dialogue, a conversation, and I will be nether with Hashem's help. And then I'll share with you more practical advice on how to go about having these healthy conversations. And Belina, that we will talk further, and we will go into the last step, which is called love infusions. This step, what we talked about here, is you're acknowledging the other person's world, understanding them. And here, in the last step, is really putting in strong love and strong support that will solidify the marriage in the most beautiful way. Bracha natzlacha.